We're in Jesus' great prayer in John 17. I'm going to read verses 17 through 19, so please stand for the reading of God's holy word. Hear now God's word from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 17, beginning with verse 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, as you have proven yourself so faithful time and time again, we ask as we come to your word that through your Spirit you would give us the ears to hear, the eyes to see. We ask that you would set free the power of the Word of God to do a marvelous work in our hearts. O Lord, help us to see and believe the truth, even the truth of this passage. Even the truth of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, here in John chapter 17, Jesus prays what many consider to be the greatest of all the prayers in the Bible. And last week, when we looked at verses 6 through 18, we beheld Christ's deep love and concern for his disciples, especially crystallized in verse 11, where Jesus prayed, "Holy Father, keep them." You see, Jesus is about to go to the cross. At this point, he is soon also to ascend to heaven, and so about to leave his disciples behind in the world so they could establish his church, he now prays to the Father, asking the Father to keep, to guard, to protect his sheep from the threat that the fallen world poses in all of its sinful, false beliefs and practices. But Jesus not only prayed to the Father to protect his disciples from falling for the ways, the lies, the beliefs of the fallen world, but now, here in verse 17 through 19, Jesus also petitions the Father to do something positive, a positive work in us, to sanctify us in the truth. That is, Jesus is praying, and we'll unpack this further over the next few weeks, but Jesus is asking the Father to set us apart from this fallen world in all of its unbelief and rebellion, to distinguish us, may I say, to set us apart to God as His holy people, and to do this again through the truth of His Word. But that raises a question: what is truth? Jesus answers that great question for us: your Word. That's God's Word. Your Word is truth. But in our day, we're living in the midst of an enormous crisis of truth, a crisis of truth that has even penetrated and afflicts Christ's own church. This crisis of truth is so serious, so grave, that we're going to spend the next several weeks looking at truth as well as sanctification, and it will be to our blessing and our salvation and our health, both mental and spiritual. Now, regarding truth, There's nothing more foundational, more important to get right than this topic of truth. And if there's any area of attack on the part of Satan at this present time in which we live, it's in this whole matter regarding truth. Please understand, we as a society, we as a civilization, in fact, much of the world no longer believes that there is solid, true, across all cultures, all times, all places, truth. The world no longer believes that. In other words, we are living at a moment in history, in the history of the world, in which there is a crisis of truth such as has never existed previously. And the source of this crisis, it can easily be traced back to that incredibly evil, that astoundingly malicious, lying, deceiving, fallen angel, Satan. In fact, Satan's very first attack way back in the Garden of Eden was at this point regarding truth. Did God actually say? And it all went downhill from there, didn't it? And since our focus for the next few Sundays is on this vital topic of truth, so we can better understand Christ's prayer, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. Well, since our focus is on this for the next few Sundays, I'm hoping that we can better then understand and apply Jesus' prayer, that we be sanctified, that God's work of saving us from our sin and conforming us more to the glory of the image of Christ would be advanced, that we can be blessed by truth. And so where I want to begin this morning is focusing on truth. And perhaps next Sunday we'll look more at that. We'll see how the Lord leads during this week. But I want to begin by looking at our own society, the sort of the atmosphere in which each one of us lives and breathes. I want to look at our own society's current loss of truth. And this loss of truth, real truth, true truth, eternal truth, is a source of so incredibly much pain and anguish and confusion and violence and anger in our present society. And it's deeply impacting and hurting the church as well. When we lose the fundamental reality of all existence, when we lose the fundamental reality that God actually exists and that God created everything and that truth then originates and flows from God, then all that we have left when we've lost that is our own personal, ever-shifting, ever-confused thoughts and cravings and whims and delusions. And thus, what is happening today is that each one of us are creating our own individualized truth. Our society's current belief regarding truth is what is known as relativism. It means truth is just relative, whatever you make it to be. And it's being played today. As it's being played out today, it's even leading some into delusional mental illness. You see, sin, rebellion against God, is always a downward spiral. Now, relativism is the idea that all points of view, all so-called truths, all positions are equally valid. Because, you see, there is no one truth, no single truth that is true for all people across all times, across all cultures. And you see, if there is no single great truth and reality which holds everything together, such as the Word of God, which declares truth, then all moral positions, no matter how wild they may be, no matter how bizarre they may be, all positions are potentially mine to embrace. And if all moral positions are potentially mine to embrace, then who determines what's right, what's wrong? Who determines what's true for me? And the answer is simple regarding all of this. Please don't miss this. Who determines? I determine what's true for me. And if you want to understand where so many, for example, of our universities are coming from regarding truth, and this is one of the places where much of this is disseminated, and especially if you want to understand where many of our younger people are coming from, then you must realize that for them, Essentially, each individual determines what's right, what's true. They determine it personally for themselves. They're determining their own truth, their own identity for and about themselves. Please understand, in the past, things like right and wrong, truth, identity were taught and passed on from generation to generation by one's parents, by one's culture, by one's church. And furthermore, right and wrong and truth and identity was reinforced even at school, as well as by society at large, and people believed that was good. But this no longer is the case. We live in an age in which, again, we each are creating our own truth. Essentially, we're in a free fall. And there is no solid ground under our feet. In other words, in our age, I am the source of what is true for myself, as well as what is true about myself. And this is especially the case for our younger people, but it includes adults or older adults as well. And truth be admitted, and this is not admitted in our day, we are suffering, we are hurting more than ever as a result of this. As one of our own church members once pointed out, that for many in this generation, they are assuming Christ's own identity when he declared, "I am the truth." You see? For many people today, and especially young people, they are a truth unto themselves. They actively create as well as change their self-identity, even their gender. So, for example, take how we're born. You're either born male or female. And in the past, the way you were born, male or female, formed a foundation of your identity for the rest of your life. And your parents and your society reinforced that identity. And it had guided much of life for you. But for many in our age, how you're born means little to nothing. There are no longer inherited or enduring roles or identities that sort of give us purpose and meaning and direction in life. So let's say you were born, and we've even got terms like this now, let's say you were born biologically female. Well, big deal. What's truth anyway? Today, I feel like I'm something different. Even though I was born female, well, today I feel like I'm a male. And so I declare myself, I announce, I'm a male. After all, I am the truth. I create my own reality. It's like we're little gods running around the planet, creating our own worlds, our own truth, our own reality. So here's part of what's going on. In today's society, truth and identity is found by looking inward, by looking inside of myself to determine what's true for me. And thus, we no longer look outward to what's been created by God and to unchanging, solid, stable truths such as divine revelation, as well as to the security and the comfort of what everyone in all cultures, at all times, in all places has always understood to be true. And this idea that there is no true truth, and some of you know Francis Schaeffer coined that phrase that I like so much, true truth. This idea that there is no true truth, the idea that I reimagine my own truth by looking inward, by looking to what I feel, what my impulse is for today, it's really nothing new. And by the way, I'm going to state it rather bluntly, my creating my own truth, my own reality, to say it bluntly, it's both spiritual and mental illness. It really is. Mike Horton, in his book Pilgrim Theology, when he's discussing Satan's temptation of Eve in Genesis 3, writes this: only God is original. Only he can create. Satan can only distort, pervert, and corrupt. His lies are parasites on the truth. And that means that when we seek to create our own truth, we what distort, pervert, and corrupt. Dr. Horton then continues, notice the emphasis on Eve's action as guided. Now, this is referring to Genesis 3. Notice the emphasis on Eve's action as guided by what she saw, felt, and approved. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. Can you see what was going on? Can you see what Eve did? We sort of see ourselves in this. When she was tempted, she turned towards and she followed her own inner cravings and desires. And that's never safe. Just look at what it led to when Eve did that. And it's this confusion over truth and following of our inner impulses that lay behind even kids nowadays who are raised in Christian families and in the church coming home and making announcements such as, I'm gay or whatever. So whether it's the seduction of things, whether it be abortion or divorce or pornography or homosexuality, never forget this little truth. And again, this takes us even back to Eve. Never forget this. Sin, all sin, can be shockingly alluring and seductive. This is exactly what's happening today in our age. Just like Eve in the garden under Satan's lies and Satan's deceptions, so our own actions are being guided by what we see, by what we feel, and then what we come to approve, rather than our actions being guided by God's objective truth as revealed in the Bible. So, if we live in this age of relativism, in which we sort of hold that all beliefs are equally valid because there is no single truth. In other words, if we live in a truth in a world in an age where I determine what is true and right for me, well, where in the world then can we find truth? Real truth, solid truth, truth that sort of lets us have something to stand on and live our life by. Where do we find truth, real truth, solid truth, truth that is good and healthy and that truly blesses? Well, the answer is that truth, true truth, in fact, the starting point for all truth is found in these most special, these most precious words which Moses penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit more than 3,400 years ago. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the origins of truth for us. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now you might be wondering, well, is this really that important anyway? Genesis 1:1? Well, to borrow that phrase, you've heard me say I like it previously, to borrow that phrase that I like so much, taken from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Genesis 1:1 is foundational to life, the universe, and everything. Genesis 1:1 is foundational to life, the universe, and everything. In other words, where we come from, origins, has to do with everything, including what is true, what is not true, what is true about life. There are only two possible possibilities. There are only two possibilities concerning origins. Either the world and all of this physical stuff has always existed, which is the predominant belief in our own society. And if all of this physical stuff has always existed and there is no God who brought it all into being, no designer, no creator, then there is no right or wrong. Again, this is the predominant view of our society. Or our world was brought into existence by a creator. That's the two basic positions, alternates in all of this matter. So one of the great questions is this: where does the life, the universe, and everything come from? Well, think about it. If there was somebody who was present at the beginning of the universe, well, if they were there, they could tell us, couldn't they? And this is exactly what God does. He was there. He did it. And so this is exactly what God does through the pen of Moses. God tells us, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is a thrilling declaration. This is life-impacting, desperately needed revelation. The world in which you live is not a result of chaos. It is not a result of chance. You are not the product of meaningless, random forces coming together in some primordial soup. And hearing that you're not the product of random chaos should give you such a relief to hear that. Rather than coming from randomness and chance, rather, in the beginning, God, your world, your life, is the product of the will and the purposes of a good and sovereign creator. So don't miss this crucial point then. When we reject, in the beginning, God, as our society has, you end up in a free fall. It's as if you've jumped out of a plane and you left your parachute or your parasail back on the plane. That's what's going on today. You see? And so when people, again, cut the rope that anchors the fact that of the life, the universe and everything, that we were carefully and purposely designed, well, we can't even understand a passage like, "Holy Father, sanctify them in the truth." What truth? And what sanctification anyway? Does it even have a purpose? Does it even have an end? Can it even have glory if everything is mere chaos and randomness? And so even Jesus' prayer, which is so critical for us, "Sanctify them in the truth," it becomes just so much gibberish. And by the way, there are philosophers who have taken everything to this logical conclusion, such as Derrida, that even words have no meaning. And here's the craziness of the whole thing. So philosophers like Derrida, when they're writing, words have no meaning. They're using words with meaning to say there are no meaning to the very words I'm writing down. That's why I say it's like we've jumped out of an airplane with no parachute. And what we're doing is we're just ending up splatting on the ground. It's really tragic what's going on. So even to understand Jesus' teaching, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." There has to be truth. There has to be creation. There has to be reality. There has to be something enduring. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That is such good news. And it is desperately, desperately needed news today. Please understand, when we reject creation, when we reject God's word, we are dooming our lives, our marriages, our families, our identities, our society to drift aimlessly and crash on the rocks because we have opened the door wide to Satan and his lies and his deceptions. And look at where that's gotten us, even from the garden, all this mess. Now, to continue exploring this a little bit, if we cut ourselves off from, in the beginning, God, if we cut ourselves off from the truth, from reality about life, the universe, and everything, then we cut ourselves off from God's revelation regarding what is good, what is true, what is beautiful. We cut ourselves off from all of those things. And all we have left then is our random, self-generated, chaotic, meaningless, self-generated truth, which really is just so much error regarding life, the universe, and everything. And please understand this. Error and chaos never blesses. It only curses. And that's what we see happening all around us every day. Always remember, the source of all of our woes, the source of all of our hardships in life, the source of all the chaos and the disorder we experience all around us, even in our own families and our own relationships, is found in our falling for those four simple words uttered by Satan back in the garden. Did God really say? Did God really say? And so never forget that as long as Adam and Eve believed and lived on God's truth, think about this, as long as Adam and Eve lived on God's truth and believed God's truth, as long as they lived on what God said is true and good and beautiful, do you realize Adam and Eve's lives were truly blessed as long as they believed God? In fact, their life was paradise until they no longer believed God. That's incredible. And so please understand, when Jesus prays, sanctify them in the truth, he's asking the Father to restore us to our true happiness. It's a wonderful prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. Jesus is asking the Father to restore us to our true happiness and fullness. Now, what we're ultimately getting at in regards to, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, is that because this universe and our world was brought into being by God, then our world and our lives have been consciously and purposefully designed to be lived in certain ways. In other words, because life, the universe, and everything was brought into being by the good God who designed it all, and because life, the universe, and everything is upheld and continues to be upheld by the Creator, then there is truth, real truth, ultimate, absolute, wonderful, trustworthy, life-giving, life-blessing truth. And because God, and because the God who is good, despite the lies of Satan to the contrary, then this truth which comes from God the Creator is itself good. Is itself good. And it is the path to all true blessings. Fallen, sinful hearts say that's not true. But the Holy Spirit comes along and gives us a new heart, so that we can believe and be restored to the fact that God's truth really is a blessing. And furthermore, because in the beginning, this good God created the heavens and the earth, your life, your gender from birth, your identity, they all have meaning and purpose and shape and order. Because there is a Creator, and because He has revealed what's true and right, then our lives actually do have meaning and purpose and shape and order. And it's all revealed right here in the Word of God. It's sin that causes us to believe it's bad, and it gets in the way of our happiness. So again, if our existence, however, is merely the result of chaos and chance, then our ethics and our morals will be little more than a roll of the dice. It will be just so much relativism, which is just another word for confusion or disorder. When we jettison truth, when we hold that there is no God, there is no Creator, as our society has done on a massive scale, and when we go around like little gods determining what's true and right for me, then the result will be what we see: chaos and decline, as human sin and depravity and Satan is given full reign. There will be things like we see: increasing shootings, helpless children in their mother's wombs being murdered in the name of freedom and liberation. Bondage to porn and sex will crush more and more lives. Even young people will be utterly confused as to who they are and what life is all about, even in regards to the most basic things like how they were born, male or female. So hopefully we can begin to see why truth, what is right and wrong, what is true and false, that there's nothing more foundational, nothing more important to get right as a foundation to move forward and build everything else upon. There's nothing more important in this topic of truth. Otherwise, all you're left with is the ever-shifting, ever-flowing relativism, where I look inward and determine what's true for me. Remember, self-generated truth only leads to decline and chaos and confusion and misery. And that reality is so suppressed in our society. People are not willing to admit to that. We still are believing the narrative, the lie, that this liberates and leads to happiness. We really believe, and it by saying there is no truth, and you look inward, we really believe that we are moving towards a utopia. We're not. And so maybe from all of this, you can begin to see why Jesus not only went to the cross to save us from our sin, but he then, out of a heart that loves us and is burdened for us, he prayed to the Father, "Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. We need it. We need sanctification. We need deliverance from our sin. We need to be set apart from God, but we need simple also truth, God's truth. We need to be purged of false beliefs, false understandings. We need to grow and be transformed by all the blessings of God's redemption and God's eternal, unchanging truth." And maybe, and I'll close with these thoughts, maybe you might be wondering, but what if I have been caught up in denying that there is truth with all of its horrible results? Is there hope for me? If I've been caught up in doubting that there's even truth, is there hope for me? Absolutely. And there is hope because we have truth given to us. It's recorded in our Bibles. There is hope because of the truth of the Word of God, which reveals the Creator who has not walked away from us, who has not abandoned us, even though we abandoned Him. The truth of the Bible reveals that the Creator, in His amazing goodness, did something about our condition, our sin, and the guilt that we have from following our own inner fallen, broken cravings. He even did something to free us from this bondage. The Bible contains the truth of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which declares this: God shows us His own love for us in that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us to free us, to liberate us. In Jesus Christ, then, you will find truth, real truth, salvation, freedom from relativism, freedom from bondage, freedom from whatever your ever-shifting thoughts and feelings and cravings are. In Christ, you will find life, real life, eternal life. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, the very atmosphere in which we live and breathe in our society says there is no God. That message is everywhere, and the same for the message, there is no truth. Save us by your truth. Encourage us that there is reality. There is truth that is true across all times, all cultures, all societies. Truly, Lord Jesus, bring about the prayer which you prayed to the Father. Sanctify them. Sanctify us. Save us. Deliver us from the terrible beliefs, the false beliefs of the world. Sanctify us in the truth. And thank you that your word is revealed truth.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.